Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we will also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Good morning. If you can turn to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 14 and 15, we've been studying the issue of middle matters. We talked about how there are commands in Scripture that we are to do, and there are commands in Scripture that we are not to do, and then everything in between those two that are not recorded in Scripture are middle matters. And in chapter 14, we learned that we're supposed to have unity in our church, and we're not to judge each other on middle matters, because each person's accountable to God for those issues that they do or don't do. And second, we learned that you do not cause another believer to sin. We don't put an obstacle in their way or cause them to trip up. We love them. And then the third thing we learned is that believers do this because he's part of the kingdom of God. And that should have settled it for us. But we still continued in chapter 15. Chapter 15, it talked about unity in the church. And it talked about the example of Jesus Christ that went on from verses 1 through verse 12, talking about how Jesus died for your living faith to grow, and that you are to please God the Father, and that we should follow the example of Jesus Christ with middle matters and cause other believers to grow in their faith and for them to grow in pleasing God. All believers are to be of the same mind together in this church. So there are to be no divisions in this church. There are to be no walls in this church. Now we come to verse 13, chapter 15, verse 13. Verse 13 is a prayer that Paul raises to God. And you will learn a number of things in this prayer that he raises that should cease any division in our church, should fight for unity and to love one another. And that believers are to trust the work of God in our church. It reminds me of about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I can't remember. I went to a place called O'Reilly's. Ever been there? They have auto parts. My wife's car had a headlight that was not working. And it makes it pretty easy nowadays. It's just a bulb you put in and you take that bulb out. So I go to the O'Reilly's. I make my wife drive to O'Reilly's. I get the light bulb out of the headlight. I get my wife to take it inside. It's her car, okay? I have her take it inside, give it to the mechanic, and say we need a new light bulb for our headlight. He looks it up on his computer. He goes over to the to the place where the light bulbs are. He comes back, sells us a whatever $20 light bulb. And I get it, and I go out to the parking lot, and I work on that light bulb, and I have a hard time fitting it in, getting it back into the headlight. Matter of fact, it will not fit. After about 15, 30 minutes of work, I'm done with this bulb. I say, "Wife, you bought the wrong bulb. Take it back and tell him it does not fit." So he goes back inside, and she goes to the counter, and he goes, "Oh, I apologize. I'm so sorry." And he goes behind the counter to get another bulb. And he gets another bulb, and he gives it, sells it to us. It probably costs more. And we go out to the car, and I try to put the light bulb in the headlight. And no matter what you do, it will not work. The headlight still will not produce light. No matter how I talk to it, it would not produce light. It just would not produce any light. So, tell my wife, go back in, get my money back. We're going somewhere else. Anyway, we ended up mailing it in. Last week, my wife's car taillight went out. Taillight goes out. Taillights are easy. It's just a bulb. Okay? We go to O'Reilly's. I'm making sure she understands she has to go in and deal with the guys. Okay? And I take the bulb out of the taillight. And it comes out, and it's easy. I take it out. I say, "This is what you want. Go in and get a taillight bulb for the taillight." She goes into the store, gets a taillight, actually gets two of them, gets a taillight, and comes back out, gives it to me. I get it. It goes in the slot. I turn the slot. I put it in the taillight. And guess what? I say, "Turn on the car. Let's see if it works." And guess what? It worked. I know, I was shocked too. I was in the parking lot for about 4 minutes, okay? And I had light. I'm in the parking lot 4 weeks ago for an hour and no light. It's one way or the other. No light or light. No light or light. And I could tell. No light or light. Today we're going to look at a prayer. Paul's going to pray a prayer, and he's going to talk about some things that will summarize, I think, the entire first 14 chapters of the Romans, book of Romans. And I'll make sure you notice that as we go through this verse. And it talks about one thing that needs to be very clear. Either you have light or you don't have light. There's no middle ground in this verse. Okay? No middle ground. Either you have light or you have no light. It doesn't work sometimes. It doesn't work some ways. It will be either one way or the other. Verse 13, chapter 15, look at the verse. "Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let me read that again. "Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What comes to a believer's life with heavenly power? What comes to a believer's life with heavenly power? And if your life has heavenly power, there will be light. If there is no heavenly power in your life, there will be darkness. It is either one way or the other. Light or darkness. And I'm going to show you exactly the difference between the two states of being. And it will be clear. Or, if you don't like that question, I got another one for you. What happens when you hear the gospel message and surrender your will to God's plan for your life? What happens when you hear the gospel message and surrender your will to God's plan for your life? Guess what it will be? It'll either be light or darkness. Light or darkness. No middle ground. No middle ground. Here you go, number one. First thing it says, now may the God of hope. Now may the God of hope. He addresses his prayer to God the Father, who he calls the God of hope. The God of hope. That's number one. The God of hope. The God of hope, when he comes into your life, he comes with power. And when the God of hope comes into your life, he will be an indication that he's in your life because you will have light. You will have light. Now may, that's how Paul really distinguishes a prayer here. This is the second prayer out of five that we're going to see in the last couple of chapters here in Romans. We have a new subject. He's done talking about the example of Jesus Christ for the last 12 verses. He's starting a new subject with this prayer. This prayer may be the key to all questions you may have about salvation. It may answer the question about why would God want to save us? What is the purpose of God's work of salvation? Why do we need salvation? How is life better with God's salvation? What do we need saving from? I'm a good person. Isn't that enough? I believe in God. Isn't that salvation? I believe. This verse will answer any question you have about salvation. It will show you that you are in the light or you're in the darkness. It's either one way or the other. My headlight works or my headlight does not work. Only one way to tell. And he addresses God, the God of hope. Let's put God on this scale. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God is one thing to you. And if you are a sinner that does not believe in God, God is another thing to you. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, God is your judge. There's no other occupation for him in your relationship with him. He will judge you. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have a different relationship with God. He becomes your Father. He is either your Father or your judge. Either he will be in a light position or a dark position for you. Matter of fact, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not think of him as your judge. You will think of him as a fable or a figure of speech or some belief system that people have with crutches, or you'll think something about him. That's not true. You will not see him as your judge. He will be judge or he'll be father to you. God is the giver of hope and is the goal of hope. God has everything to do with hope. Hope. The Greek word for hope is found 13 times in the book of Romans. Again, I think is a key word in the book of Romans. There's a direct connection between God and the Bible. The Bible, we can go, if we had time, we could go places and talk about the Bible being the object of hope for us, the source of hope for us. We could talk about receiving a message of hope from the Bible. We could do that because the God and the Bible are connected. God is inspiring the writers to write a message of hope because a message of hope talks about God the Father, because he is the God of hope. God is the source of hope and imparts hope to those that trust Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we just read this a minute ago. And hope does not disappoint. You know why hope does not disappoint? Because hope comes from God the Father. You will never be disappointed if God the Father is your Father. He is your hope. This church family is to be marked by hope. The most hopeful people you meet should be the people attending this church. There is hope because you have a relationship with the God of hope. And the God of hope will do things to indicate so you can understand that you are in the light. Look at the next phrase. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. A lot of good words here. Fill you with all joy. Let's put it this way. Number two, God will give you the abundance of joy. Abundance of joy. He will overflow you with joy. He will make you the most joyful person people will meet this week. You will be joyful. And He will fill you with this joy. God of hope will fill you with joy. If the God of hope is your Father, He will fill you with joy. And He will fill you in an oblative way. In other words, it's a wish in the Greek. It's a language He gives a wish or a prayer. He wishes that you would all have joy. God of hope does. But not everyone will. Claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The work of salvation brings the sinner into a complete fulfilling experience with God of hope that life is no longer an empty search for happiness. Because you search for happiness in this world, you will not find joy. Cannot be done. If you are filled by the God of hope, He will fill you with some joy. Is that what it says? Three-quarters joy. Is that what it says? He says all joy. You will be overflowing with joy. The Greek term is found three times in the book of Romans. And interesting, it's only found in chapter 14 and 15. Joy. Joy comes in a church. If a church is filled with joy, there will be no division between weak and strong believers over middle matters. There'll be no division. The kingdom of God is joy. Romans 14, verse 17, the last chapter. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you have joy. All joy. There is to be joy in a biblical church. This should be the most joyful hour and a half or 2 hours that you have this week. You should have more joy than any other time. The kingdom of God focuses on joy. Joy is clearly seen in the life of a fruitful believer that demonstrates a wholehearted obedience to the Word of God. Joy is a deep down confidence that God is in control of everything and the believer's good and for God's glory. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Joy is deeper than that. It's a deep confidence in the future that's based upon trust in God's purpose and power, because God is a God of hope. And you have joy because that God of hope is your Father, not your judge. Third, next phrase, and peace. And peace. The way it's written in the Greek, the all goes for both of them, joy and peace. The English doesn't do that. Doesn't include the all peace. So you can write it in the little space between the two words. All joy and all peace. You get all joy and all peace. Number three, you have an abundance of peace that shows the power of God in your life. And you know that you have light in your headlight. Peace is literally the idea of completeness. Peace begins in the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 7, and continues, I think, throughout the rest of the book. 10 times we find peace coming up. Peace, peace, peace. Our church is to be filled with joy and peace. Peace with God, because our sins are forgiven by the work of Jesus Christ, and peace with God, peace of God, so that we have peace in our lives. Let's explain that really quick for a moment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Write that down. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, will guard what? Your heart and your mind. It will guard your heart and your mind. If you have the peace, all peace, it will have an effect on your heart and on your mind. What does that mean? That means your heart or emotions will be at peace. And your intellect will be at peace if your mind is controlled by the peace of God. So your thinking will be at peace. Your feelings will be at peace. You will be at peace with what, Pastor? With everything. Everything. There will be nothing in this world that can cause you to lose all peace. Why? Because the God of hope is your Father. You have joy and you have peace. The believers to have peace in this church and no division. We are to have a relationship of love for one another, and we have peace. Peace is a gift which God in Christ imparts to the church. We have oodles of verses. That's the theological term. Oodles of passages talking about peace. We have peace and peace and more peace and more peace. Next phrase, verse 13. Now, this is an interesting one, and I got to be technical with you here. It says, in believing. In believing. That Greek word that's translated in is a very interesting word. It means a connection to. Okay? So, believing has a connection with what? Joy and peace. Okay? If you have believing, you have joy and peace. If you do not have believing, guess what you do not have? Joy and peace. That's why your non-believing friends don't have peace in their life or joy in their life. If you have believing, you naturally have joy and peace. Because of that one little word in the Greek. In believing, present tense, every day you have peace. Every day you have faith. Every day you live having living faith. You have belief in the gospel message, in the scriptures, in the fact that you have a relationship with the God of hope. God of hope. Believing comes up 20 times in the book of Romans. Starts in chapter 1, verse 16, and goes on. Belief is key to having joy and peace. If you do not have belief, you will not have joy and peace. It will not happen. Belief is one-third of the work that the God of hope does for you. One-third. Hang on, I'll fill that out in a minute. One-third. You have to trust and believe. Put it this way, number four. Total trust in God. Total trust in God. You have to have total trust in God. You have to believe. You have to have belief. You have to have faith. You have to have saving faith and living faith and doctrinal faith. You have to have faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. That's one. And then second, and faith in the truth. Faith in the truth. We have to trust the truth that God has given to us in communication through His Word. We have to trust that God is the God of hope. We have to trust that God is our Father if we become a believer in Jesus Christ. And if we don't, we have to trust that He will be judged, because He will. Either the light's on or the light's off. It's only one way or the other. You will have responsibility to believe. The key, the person who believes is justified by saving faith and will have, guess what, joy and peace. You'll have it. The ground for our hope begins with Jesus Christ and His Word and the gospel message. Christian joy and peace is impossible without trust in Jesus Christ's work on the cross. You cannot do it. You cannot be happy in this world without belief in Jesus Christ. Believing relies upon another person. Working requires that you do something. You can't earn your favor with God. You can't do something to please Him. Believing requires the act of receiving. Somebody else does the work, and Jesus Christ did that work for you. All you have to do is believe, to trust. Just as everyone apart from Christ is equally sinful and rejected by God, everyone who is in Christ is equally righteous and accepted by God. There's a division between the two different people. Either you're in the light or you're in the dark. Number five. So that you will abound in hope. See that word in? It's the same Greek word, in. It's translated in. It's a connection to joy and peace. You have to have this part as well as you have to have believing. Believing, you have to be abounding in hope. In other words, number five, you have to have total hope in God. Total hope in God. As if He's the only one offering you salvation. And He is. You believe Him. And guess what He does with hope? He abounds you with hope. Okay, I didn't get any reaction from you. He abounds you with hope. In other words, He doesn't give you a little bit of hope. He doesn't give you 20% of hope. He doesn't give you 50% of hope. He abounds you. He gives you 120% of hope. He gives you more hope than you need. Hope is based upon the promises of God. The root word for hope is found 13 times in the book of Romans. It comes up over and over again. Hope is one-third of the work that the God of hope does. He also does the believing, the trusting. Believing and hope go together. You have to have both. Hope is given to you by the God of hope. Faith embraces salvation as it is today. Hope embraces salvation as it will be in the future. And you have hope in the future because of your faith today. From saving faith, we rise to hope. Romans 8:24. For in hope we have been saved. You are saved, and you are saved as a part of God's work by hope. He gives you hope. The God who is your Father, when you become saved, you accept the gospel message, you put your trust and belief in that gospel message, He gives you hope. He cannot help but give you hope. He's the God of hope. He gives it to you. and you are given hope, and not a little hope, not a percentage of hope. He gives you an abundance of hope. An abundance of hope. An abundance of hope. A founding father of this country said, quote, "I know no way of judging the future but by the past," unquote. That man doesn't have hope in God. He doesn't have hope in God. A pastor said, quote, "Hope ultimately cannot be produced by human beings. Hope has to come from the God of hope." You are given the God of hope from God. He gives it to you because He's your Father. A person has to believe God's promises and have hope. You reject the promises of God, guess what? You have no hope. It divides people. Either you're in the light or you're not in the light. You have hope or you don't have hope. If you don't have hope, it doesn't matter what you believe. It won't work. You believe in Jesus Christ, you have hope. God of hope gives you hope. The Bible declares that God is a God of hope. Hope is a theme of Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. In case you weren't here for that year. Hope is key. This family, this church, is to be based on hope. We should be the most hopeful people you meet this week. Because we have a future because of our God. That's our Father, who's the God of hope. We have a future. Okay. Just because I love you, that I found 16 other passages that talks about abounding in love that God does for you. I was thinking, first off, I'd take you to 17 passages. But we'll be here forever. Abounding. Glory to God abounds in believers. Romans 3. Grace abounds in believers, Romans 5. Spiritual growth abounds in believers, 1 Corinthians 14. The work of the Lord abounds in believers, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ's suffering and Christ's comfort abounds in believers, 2 Corinthians 1. Glory abounds in believers, 2 Corinthians 3. Giving thanks abounds in believers, 2 Corinthians 4. Joy abounds in believers, 2 Corinthians 8. Everything. We'll stop with this one. Everything abounds in believers. Everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Look that one up this afternoon. Everything you abound in because God is your Father. It talks about faith and knowledge and love all abounding in you because you have a relationship with God. Goes on. I could go on. Let's go to number six. Number six. In believing, so that you will abound in hope. See the next word in the New American Standard? It says by. I just like that translation because it's the same Greek word for in. It needs to be in. You have my permission to cross it out and write in. Okay? In believing, so that you will abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you will abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that has to happen in your life for you to have light on in your life, for you to have joy in your life, for you to have peace in your life, you have to have the power of God in your life. What comes to a believer's life with heavenly power? Number six. Total power from God. Total power from God. You do not have a little power. You're abounding in power. You have power, power, power. Wonder-working power. And it's connected to your hope. And it's connected to your believing. Because you believe, you have hope. Because you have hope, you have power. You have all three of those. If God the Father is your Father. The Greek word for hope, for For power here is found seven times in the book of Romans. It starts in chapter 1, verse 4. This verse, empower, is one third of the work of God of hope. He does power, he does hope, and he does belief in your life. He does all three. And he does all three so that you can have joy and peace. Everything believers do to bring glory to God is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power is how God of hope provides hope to every believer through the power of the Holy Spirit. God works through the power of the Holy Spirit. God provides you with hope and power and belief. The age is dominant. In this age, sin is dominant, and it makes you weak. But in this age, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have a life of power. You're either one way or the other. You're either weak or powerful. Either the light's off or the light's on. Only one way. We need the power of God to change the sinner into righteousness of God so that we will be saved from the wrath of God. Let me say that again. We need the power of God to change the sinner into the righteousness of God so that we will be saved from the wrath of God. If you do not experience the power of God, you will be judged by God. All this is connected with God's power, through whom God bestows everything. Through the study of the Word of God, or the preaching of the Word of God, or the teaching of the Word of God, or by prayer, or by the use of spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit works so that the believer experiences the love of God and the power of God. It all comes. All comes. There are three things that happen to a believer in Christ that comes to you. When you are saved, you begin a life of trust in God's promises. You begin a life of hope in God's promises. You begin a life of power in God's promises. And if you have a life of believing, of hope and power, guess what you have? All three of these come with what? All joy and all peace. If you are sitting here today and you do not have peace and joy in your life, it's because you're missing the power of the Holy Spirit. You're missing the hope in God. You're missing believing in the gospel message. And you need to turn to Jesus Christ as your only hope and be saved. Application. Will I daily place my trust in the God of hope so that I will grow in my joy and peace? Let me say that again. Will I daily place my trust in the God of hope so that I will grow in my joy and peace? A pastor wrote this about this verse. I'm going to steal it from him, but I'm going to give him credit. Okay? Pastor wrote, he wrote 7 points. Notice I don't have that many points. Okay? He has 7 points. The source of that life is the God of hope. The source of that life. He says the measure of that life, that we shall be filled with all joy and peace. The measure of that life. The quality of that life is joy and peace, which he desires for us. The quality of that life. The condition of that life is faith. We enter by believing. The purpose of that life is that we might abound. The purpose of that life. The enabling of that life is divine power. And the director of that life is the Holy Spirit. Notice I didn't steal any of his points. That's a good thing for me, right? Let me summarize. You came to church today. A lot better than O'Reilly's. You came here. I did a check, not of your headlights and all your lights. I did a check of your entire life. Okay? I'm a full service person. Okay? I did not give you the wrong bulb. I gave you the truth of the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God is that God is a God of hope. The only way you can have hope in this life is by having a relationship with that God. If you have a relationship with that God through the work of Jesus Christ, which he talked about for verses 1 through verse 12, if you have a relationship with the work of Jesus Christ, you then can have all joy and all peace. But wait, it's a conditional guarantee. You have to believe in the promises of God. You have to have hope in the promises of God. You have to have the power of God to believe and to have hope. If you do not have any of these things in your life, there's only one thing you need. You need to turn to Jesus Christ for everything. And Jesus Christ will answer all your sufficiencies. Father God, thank you for this time in your word. I pray, Father, that you would have a blessing for us for this time that we've served and studied your word. I pray, Father, you would help us to apply your word to our lives for your glory and honor. I pray, Father, that we would be positive examples this week of a joyful person. I pray, Father, you forgive us for last week when we were not joyful. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be the peacemaker this week. I pray, Father, you forgive us for last week when we're not a peacemaker. I pray, Father, that people would see the joy and peace in our lives and understand that we have a light on, and it's because God is our hope. He's our Father. He's not our judge. He's our Father. Thank you, Father, for being with us through the work of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.